Good morning. We're going to see how far we get without Charlie having to demand that he be up here on stage with me. Yeah, I'm kind of watching here in the distance. So if he gets a little restless, I'll have him come up here and sit beside me. But I think we're good for now. So the talk today that I'm choosing to talk about is called Trusting Our Experiences. And I'd like to start off with a quote by Terry Williams when he says, "We are taught not to trust our experiences, but life has proven time and time again that our experiences are what we have that shape us into the person we are right now." Didn't last long.
10 seconds.
10 seconds. All right, baby. You good? All right, you're right there. We good? We good? All right, perfect. Yeah. This is the definition of OCD. He is my pal and buddy, that's for sure. For each of us, we have vastly different experiences we go through in life that shape us into the unique persons that we are. We come from different backgrounds, exposures to different religions, family dynamics, and socioeconomic backgrounds. And those are just a few experiences that we have that make each of us unique and shape us into the people we are today. There's also different situations that can be talked about, such as how we are exposed to different situations that blend us into being straight, gay, bi, non-gender specific, binary, et cetera. And in that specific set of situations, it can be argued if we're predestined or not to be gay, straight, bi, or otherwise. Sometimes people say you're just born that way, versus the arguments that all of us are born to be the same as far as sexual identity, and we learn it later in life. Yet, we change that predestiny by the life experiences we have as a child, all the way up through adulthood. And aside from sexual preferences and identities, we also take on as adults, there are situations such as being exposed to different political experiences that shape us into being a Democrat, a Republican, a liberal or otherwise, and we can choose our party affiliations merely by our life experiences or something else that would cause us to choose one side over another. I believe that one of the most essential dimensions to living a life of faith is through finding a way to trust our personal experiences. We may not be able to trust them absolutely because sometimes what we think, feel, or believe can be wrong, and we always need to acknowledge that. There is something so essential to listening to our personal experiences and discerning what they mean and deciding how to move forward with our lives. One example I want to discern now is the difference on how some people are more biblical and others more spiritual. For me personally, I'm a person who does not consider myself biblical, but rather spiritual. I don't read the Bible as much, but I read as many spiritual and metaphysical books as I can. So with having said that for a moment, I want to talk about one of the most familiar stories that all of us know about Moses in the book of Exodus in the Bible, when he's walking through the desert and has a profound religious experience. There's a bush growing off in the distance, and as he walks closer to the bush, he begins to see that it's on fire. Yet that bush is not being consumed by the fire. It burns, but it doesn't burn up. As it throws off flames of fire, he can see, and it heats up in the middle of the desert. But as Moses looks closer at the burning bush, he gets so enthralled and looks sooner, and it becomes a type of meditation or even a prayer for him. For me, my interpretation of this story proves that by sometimes seeing and really seeing situations like this can become a profound spiritual experience.
We're all going to sit together as a family. That we can focus on your talk.
On chair?
No, we're
good.
I'm good.
Good. All right. As Moses watches, looks, and listens to his own inner senses, he begins to sense that within the burning bush is nothing less than the presence of God. Maybe he begins to feel that God is like light or heat or even like a promise that will never be broken. He senses God wants him to do something for the Jewish people trapped and exiled in the foreign land of Egypt. And all of this began with a simple walk in the desert. But the way the story is told, it allows us to see that when we find the courage to listen, and really listen to our experiences and pay attention to them, we discover there is always something much deeper happening, like it was for Moses. We all know the rest of the story, how he stands up to the Pharaoh and tells him, "Let my people go." And at that point, he leads them across the desert, through the Red Sea, and eventually into a new land. This great and magnificent story starts in a lonely place of the desert with a solitary burning bush and with the openness of one man willing to listen to his personal experience he was having at that moment. The story could have taken on a whole different meaning and an outcome vastly different than what Moses did if another person would have had this same experience. It was a perfect example of how to trust our own experience and pay attention to what we think, believe, and feel, because all of us may have a different outcome. According to some of the greatest spiritual teachers of our times, they tell us, listen to your life and try to understand what it's truly about, apart from what we would like for it to be about, or our life will never represent anything real in this world, no matter how earnest our intentions are. There are conversations that we all have at different points in our life, and there's one that stands out that I will never forget. It was during college, and I started college and met who at that time was my best friend, and we pledged the same fraternity together. We took same classes together. We did everything together. We even got to the point that the ladies we met in college, we both married respective people, and he was my best man, and I was his best man in his wedding. And we were only probably about 3 months apart from having our weddings together. And I trusted him with all my heart and knew that I could have a good experience with him no matter what we went through. As my now ex-wife and I went through 12 years of marriage and it ended up in divorce, I found that was the time for me to say and stand up, I'm a gay person. I never acted on it while I was married. I was very, very loyal to my now ex-wife. Unfortunately, she was not that loyal to me at the time. And I thought, well, maybe this is the time for me to stand up and say who I am as a person. And I couldn't think of anyone else that I would trust at the time more than my friend in college. And I called him up and said, "Hey, I'd like to go out to lunch and sit down with you and let's have a conversation. There's something I want to talk to you about." And we did, we met, we kind of joked around, we ordered a couple drinks. And rather than dilly-dallying about what I was going to tell him, I decided I'm just going to come and say it. And I shared with him, I said, "I know that you may not realize this, but I'm gay. And that is who I am. It probably is who I've been prior to being married. And I just want to know that you can honor that." Well, with the look on his face of complete and utter disgust, he looks at me and as he's getting up from the table, tells me that I disgusted him. I was a foul human being. He never wanted to see me again, never wanted to talk to me again, and said that he was going to tell my ex-wife, tell his wife, and everyone that he could of what I've done to deceive everyone. I pleaded with him. I said, "Please don't." I said, "This is who I am. I'm not a changed person. It's just like being 6'2" or having blue eyes or wearing a certain shoe size. It's just who I am. But this is my experience. And I thought of anyone like my family, you would honor this and you would love me still for the person I am." But it was not the experience that I ever thought would have happened. It turned into an absolutely horrific situation. And to this day, that's been, gosh, 37, 38 years ago, we still haven't spoken to this day. And that makes me sad because I really felt like I had not changed as a person. I was still the same person. I was just trying to let him know there was another aspect of me. Would you get that water for me? Mm-hmm. My mouth is dry, sorry. this round.
It still hurts you today. I'm here in your voice.
Well, it did. It absolutely hurt me because we had done everything together. But it was just one of those life experiences that I had to go through. And even though I didn't like it, I now know that there are people in the world that you can't always trust. You may think you know them really well. I thought I knew my ex-wife really well, but there are people who are going to disappoint us at different stages of our life. But that's part of the experience we all have to go through. And whether it's painful, it hurts us, whatever. I remember it was a dark time. I was really depressed for a couple months, and it made me stand up and realize that I'm not a bad person. I'm really a good person. I just wanted to share who I am. And when I had that same experience of sharing with my family, they couldn't have been any more open. They received me with love and said, you are our son. How could we not love you? My sister to this day still thinks that she's got the coolest gay brother on the planet. And we're very, very close with each other. And I've always had that really fortunate experience of family honoring who I am. But at the time, it was just such a huge disappointment. And it was not the experience that I thought I was going to have at that time. And I trusted, but it proved that, you know, sometimes trust can be misleading. That, as I said, was a difficult period of time in my life, but I maneuvered through it. And I started having new experiences of being a single person again and going out into the dating world, which was scary. It was still those times during the 80s when being gay was not really accepted completely as it is today. There were still people out there who felt like, you know, the church is sitting on the fence. Do we accept gay people? Do we not accept gay people? But I continued to forge ahead and realized, you know, there's someone out there that is going to love me. They're going to be kind to me and accept me for who I am, no matter whether I'm gay or not. And all the rest of the experiences I had in life proved to be that way. And I was very blessed for that. I met a gentleman when I went out on a date. We connected really well. And after the third date, he asked me, said, would you like to go to church with me? And I said, well, as long as it's not a Baptist church or a conversion camp, we're good. you know, I'll try anything other than those two. But yeah, I'm willing to try that. And to this day, it was a life-changing experience. It was my first time of being at a spiritual living center. And it was at the Spiritual Living Center of Atlanta. And they were holding services at the High Museum of Art in downtown Atlanta. And it was such a beautiful setting. And when I walked in, it just felt like that aha moment of like, wow, I have found my people. These people understand me. And the minister who was there at the time gave such profound talks that it was just incredible to hear the message that he would always share. And his messages were always about love and understanding and acceptance, where no matter what, I went there for probably 20-some years while we were still in Atlanta, and it became my church home. And it was one of the best experiences I had. And I remember one of the things that he said that first Sunday when I went to attend service. He said, never forget, the universe is on time all the time. The universe never gets it wrong. God is doing with us exactly as he wants to be done with us. And we need to understand there are no mistakes in life, that you do have experiences like that. And it made me realize from the talk he gave that reflecting back on that conversation I had had, you know, years before that, it was just an experience that had led me to a different place in my life. And I've had certainly a lot more experiences that have led me to where I am today. And we all have those different platforms of, you know, going through different parts of our life that may be dark or difficult or part of a change, or sometimes it's really, really good. And we have to honor all of those times and the different things that we go through, because that's what molds us into the people who we are today. And it's difficult at the time. Sometimes life lessons are not easy. But yet the hardest ones, I think, are the lessons and the experiences that teach us the most, that we get the most insight and clarity from and realize that this was meant to be. We don't always see it at the moment. We can't understand it at the moment. But yet, once it's done and we reflect back and we think to ourselves, or at least I do, it's like, okay, I see exactly what was meant to be from that experience. I grew into be a stronger person. I grew into be wary about trusting people completely. But then I had yet a much more enlightening experience of going to a spiritual light center and going after being raised my entire childhood in the Episcopal Church and was married. I was baptized in the Episcopal Church. I got married in the Episcopal Church. So everything for me was pretty much organized religion up to that point. And I knew that there was another calling for me in some way, that there was another experience other than just the Episcopal faith. I started going to a United Methodist Church in downtown Atlanta. And interestingly enough, my now husband, Craig, and I were going to the same church at the same time, and never our paths never crossed with each other. And later on, when we met, we realized that we only lived about a block and a half away from each other. But yet, again, our paths had never crossed. And it certainly has brought me to probably the best place that I've ever been in my entire life. The past 15 years with this man has been the absolute best. And we all have those people in our life who we love dearly, and relationships that build us stronger and give us experiences. I've had so many incredible and wonderful experiences with him, and experiences that I've never had with another person. And I did trust, and he's built that trust back up in me again, where I can go to him with anything and know that he's going to love and accept me no matter what, warts and all, that it's going to be okay. And the experiences that we have had have been experiences that I can't even begin to describe. But yet, I think sometimes the best experiences are like what I was hearing Rhonda and Pam talk about. We had a stay in our pajama day yesterday, all day long. We got up, we had, or at least I had a really bad hair day. He didn't. don't say anything. And we just stayed in our pajamas all day long and absolutely loved it. And those are the kind of experiences that I value and treasure and would never give anything in this world for. Those are the moments in life that we realize the person who we're with, or our families, our friends. That's the other part that I think we've talked about here at the center a lot, that our family doesn't have to be our blood relatives. We can choose people in life to be our family. And as I've said many times, you all are my family. The word church, family, our center family, whatever we want to call it, all of you I consider my family, my tribe, whatever you want to name it. And we've all had wonderful experiences together. We've had some different experiences on the board where, you know, we've had difficult challenges to get through, but we have all gotten through it and we're still here today. We're sitting, our center is open. We survived through COVID. A lot of churches, synagogues, spiritual living centers closed. They had to close their doors. And whatever we have done to make our experience the right thing has obviously worked for all of us, because we still have our doors open. We still have money in our savings account to get us through. And we have a group of loving people who come together and we share experiences, whether it's a Tuesday night movie night or going for a walk-through fire event or whatever it is. Everyone here has had different experiences. And as I reflect back, I think I've shared again, I came here because of Bill. We met 7 years ago at a pet shop and had no idea he was standing behind me. And I was looking for a new spiritual home when Craig and I moved up to the mountains. And it just was one of those experiences that I had taken a dog in to be groomed and never thought that I would have found my new forever church home. And here I am 7 years later and loving life and loving all of you. And it's been such a wonderful, enlightening experience because I think that together we grow together. We each grow in different ways and some faster, some slower than others. But I think as a group of people together, we have grown to love each other, respect each other, and know that we can always trust each other. And that's one of the biggest gifts for me that I value with each and every one of you. It's something that I didn't think could have been created easily, but it has been. And it's brought me to where I'm supposed to be right now at this moment in my life. And I know that each of you probably feel the same way. And when I look out and see all of you, I see nothing but faces of love and light. And it's really wonderful. And to see different people who have connected with each other that are here for the first time with the, meeting someone new. Sorry. And it's just been such a wonderful experience. And it's something that I would never trade for anything. Getting back to the rest of my speech now or talk, now that I've gone kind of off key. Basically, reflecting back on the conversation I'd had with my best friend in college, I went there with the best of intentions and to speak my truth. But like the burning bush for Moses, there's always more to life than meets the eye. I look back on that lunch that day now with a better sense of understanding that all experiences can be perceived as having a godlike moment. Though it felt horrible at the time, I needed to hear his honesty and to understand there are people out there with misguided intentions and sometimes people who are going to hurt us. Yet there are just as many people on the flip side of the coin who have nothing but the best of intentions and they're filled with immense love and sincerity. And I still to this day consider myself a spiritual person more than biblical, but appreciating that story of Moses in the book of Exodus, he became such a powerful religious leader and a reverend figure in Judaism, but it all started out with a simple experience. He could simply have walked by and ignored that burning bush. He could have explained it away, or he could have asked someone else what they thought about it. But no, Moses mustered through enough courage and openness to listen to what God was telling him. He lingered with it, pondered the situation, and discovered God's call for his life. And to me, that's why personal experiences are so important. It's not so much that every single moment is a message, but that every message has its moment. And we only have such moments like that when we find the faith and courage to pay attention to them. I'd like at this time to close with a prayer. If you would just take a moment. Mother, Father, God, with eyes wide open, we seek to live our lives in every moment. Help us to pay attention to our experiences, not merely to look at, but to also see them. Not merely to believe, but to also feel. Not merely to know, but to also understand. Each and every day, whether the moments are big or small, help us to find love and truth in all of life's experiences. And with love and gratitude for all the gifts of life's experiences, we acknowledge a higher presence is always within each of us, guiding us through life to our next experience. And so it is. Thank you.
Yay! Charlie said, you didn't mention my name. You're going to pay for that.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.